comment about the survey. We handed out a survey last week to the congregation. Over 50% of the congregation responded while we were here together. And if you didn't get a chance to do one of those surveys, we want you to. Because the elders here don't want to run past you, don't want to run over somebody, don't want to make some changes in our worship that may be harmful to you. And so while the great majority of comments were very favorable, we would like to collect the rest of the surveys. If you haven't filled one out, they're up in front, and you need to see Dwayne. My name is Larry Campbell, and I'm one of the elders at this congregation. Last week, one of the evangelists we have, Peyton Miller, talked about a series of sermons that he was going to do. So I want to just be open and honest with you and tell you that the reason I'm up here this week instead of Peyton is because we asked him to hold off on preaching those sermons. We realized in the applications that he made that he was making an application different than we've made. And we thought it was serious enough that we should wait before he did that series to give us an opportunity to talk with him and to give him an opportunity to talk with us. Somebody said to me after the lesson last week, you know, he was preaching to the elders. And my response is, well, I hope so. I mean, it seems to me that it's what we need. It's what God's purpose is. And that if he was preaching to me, that I want to hear what he had to say. And I want to apply it to my life as I would ask you to apply it to your life. But I also recognize that in the process of making different applications, that we could create a confusing message. You know, the lesson itself isn't out on the internet. I don't know why that is. It's not that the elders held it up, I can tell you that. Because I want you to hear it. Because it is very good. And it'll be very helpful to you. A couple weeks ago, Kenny preached a lesson. And it was a lesson that was to lift us up, to set the bar higher. And as we set the bar higher, he wanted to set the bar where Jesus sets the bar. And he called on us to be better than we are, better than we can be on our own. And Peyton did the same thing last week. And so this isn't a case of me praising him and then I'm going to cut him down later on. I am telling you that if you get an opportunity to listen to that lesson, to listen to it. Because he has also raised the bar. He has done something that's important for all of us. And we realize that in some of the applications at the end are what we said is a little different than what he did. Not a little different. Let me say a few other things. The lesson this morning is made to build us up too, but it's written in a kind of more of a Larry way. And so I realize that sometimes preaching is just putting the gospel to personality. So let me get started. First of all, I want to mention that what we're doing sometimes is trying to build one another up and to educate one another. And so some of you young people have seen this sheet, have been handed this sheet by your mothers or by some of the teachers in your classes. And this sheet is made to help you to listen to the lesson. And in the process of listening to the lesson, Addie's nodding at me. She's seen this before. In the process of listening to the lesson, to fill out some things, to notice some things about the lesson. And so we hand these out to our young people. We also have some what we call youth sermon note sheets. And you may have the sheet or not.
You want to show that?
Yeah, let's put that up there. So I'm backing up. Thanks for saving me. Oh, I'm so bad. This is the one for the younger kids. This is one for the kids that are a little bit older. But in the process, what we're trying to do is to get them to look at lessons, to listen to the lesson, to learn from the lessons. There's a lot of other things we did. One of the things that I've personally done is what I call a baptism notebook. And so what this is designed to do is to... Dedicating one's life to Christ is a very serious decision. The purpose of the notebook is to assist those who are trying to make the decision and to assist their families. The decision to serve Christ is a personal one. Christians want young people to make the decision seriously, to have some assurance that the young person is knowledgeable about the decision being made, and to offer encouragement without undue pressure. The notebook is designed to help determine a young person's knowledge of Christ, and the plan of salvation is designed to be kept as a record for the young person. And so some people say, well, I don't know what I really knew when I was baptized the first time. And so what I tried to do here is to create a notebook so somebody could keep it and they could look back and say, this is what I knew. And maybe it would help them and their families. Here's the topics in the notebook. Some of you have used this, some of you have not. That's all right. Again, it was just meant to be a help, just like those little cards are meant to be a help during the sermon. Here's an example from the notebook, and this particular example is what is sin and do I have any? And so it's one of the list of subjects. You can see that there's passages with blanks, and they're asked to fill in the blanks to look at what is sin. And so we have again handed these things out. My lesson today is really about this subject: how to use the Bible. How to use the Bible. Can the church be a guarantee that you understand the Bible correctly? Does the Holy Spirit guarantee that you understand the Bible correctly? And if neither of these statements are true, what guarantees that you understand the Bible correctly? And so let me continue as we go through the morning here. Here's a couple principles from Proverbs chapter 26. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 7, here is an analogy. The legs of a lame man hang limp, and that's like the proverb in the mouth of a fool. And so the only point that I'm making here is that a proverb, the word of God, can be useless to some people. It can be useless because of what's in them, not what's in the word of God. Or like a thorn that goes through the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The word of God can actually cause injury if we misapply it. I don't think that's new to anybody, but I think that's what these proverbs are talking about. And so as you look at the book of Proverbs, you can see that we can misapply the Bible. I also know that sometimes I've been at places where we spend a lot of time on hermeneutics. How do you understand the Bible? Here's some rules for understanding. Books are written about it. Debates are taken on this issue of hermeneutics. I just put this particular passage in because it's just a unique place in the Bible. So how is it that both of these statements can be right? How is it? I realize that they are both right. But the difference is in the way of the application and when each should be used, what time it should be used, who it should be used with. I realize that Peter said about Paul, also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Some things in the Bible are hard. I'm just saying that as a statement that is true, and it's always true, and that we need to be aware of. It doesn't matter if you're an elder or not an elder. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it also says, for the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Again, that applies as much to an elder as to anyone, and I take that to heart. So let me first of all come back and answer the questions that I asked earlier. Can the church be a guarantee that you understand the Bible correctly? The answer must be no. Does the Holy Spirit guarantee that you understand the Bible correctly? No. If neither of these statements are true, what guarantees that you or I understand the Bible correctly? Nothing. Nothing. Some people say, well, wait a minute, Larry, wait a minute. There are some people that are very knowledgeable about the Word. They can quote Scripture. They know the Scriptures. And I'll tell you what, some of those people can be very, very wrong. And the reason they're wrong is because they only have one part of the equation. If you're going to admonish someone, if you're going to rebuke someone, you need to understand what is going on with your brother or with your sister. You need to understand the circumstances. You need to understand what the situation is that you're dealing with. And in the process of understanding that, then you can apply the Scriptures that you know would best apply to that situation. I did a lesson more than once here about whether things were right or wrong. And I'd like to hand that lesson out. I'm not going to read the whole lesson. I'm not going to do a lesson within a lesson, but I do want to hand this out. I know a lesson doesn't have to be eternal to be immortal. I know that. I want you to know I didn't get in the pulpit very early this morning. I'm not going to try to keep you too long. But I want you to look at this paper. What I did here is an inventory. It's an inventory where I ask people to look at more than just the commandments of the Bible. More than just, is it a sin? And that's actually what Peyton talked about last week. We've got to go beyond that. We've got to go beyond that if we're going to mature as Christians. We've got to get more into following Christ than just, is it a sin? Now, I'm not saying that what Peyton said agrees with me or disagrees with me at this point. I'm just saying that I recognize that he made points that were helpful to me, that built me up. And that I want you to recognize also that the things that are listed here are things that we need to ask ourselves. And so this part of the lesson is very similar, I think, to what Peyton did last week. We need to step up. Just like we ask these kids to listen during a worship service, we ask them to mark a page so they get better at it. They get better at listening. They get better at sitting still. Just like with our youth. Just like with us as mature adults, we need to mature and ask more than, is it a sin? We've got to get beyond that. So in the process of looking at an example of right or wrong, I put the date that I did that lesson the last time here. It could have been in a gospel meeting that I was preaching at the time back in 2006, but it was more than a decade ago. And I know that as I looked at these things helped me. These help me to understand whether I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus. There's actually a lot more than this that could be said. I think there's only one of those questions that actually go to the question of motive. And motive is an important issue as we speak to one another about the Word of God. You can see on that sheet of paper both the Scriptures I used and at least a single application that I made. And again, you can talk to me about whether I've misused and abused the Scriptures. How to use the Bible. I put this Scripture in here because, let me read it first. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The point that I want to make about this Scripture is the way it works. You see, what God did is he led the people. And in the process of leading the people, if a mother or a grandmother or somebody that was special to somebody said, I know the cloud's going that way, but I think the best way to go is this way. This is what I learned from my mom, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go this way. What do you think would happen? You know, the family would say, Grandma, if the cloud's going this way, God's going this way, it doesn't matter what you learn from somebody else. Follow God. God's going this way. Follow God. They wouldn't leave them out there in the desert to die.
They'd go get him and tell him to follow God. The point that I'm making is that's the way the Word of God works. That's the way it works. It doesn't matter how important somebody is. It doesn't matter how much money they make. It doesn't matter how they're close to you in relationship. What matters is the direction that the Word of God goes is the direction we must go. And so I use this scripture as an illustration of that because I think it works the same way. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, "For the commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near to you, very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." Now what that presupposes is that you hear that word, that you meditate upon that word, that you study that word. When it says in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, we are aware of Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices. That doesn't mean we cannot be ignorant. It means we should not be ignorant. We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And if we're trained in our hearts to follow the word, then we should not be ignorant of Satan. So how do we use the Bible? Again, returning to the book of Proverbs, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." We should use the Bible as a way of life. Live a life adorned with God's word. The idea of a necklace around the neck is the idea of an adornment. The Word of God will adorn us. It will adorn our lives. There's so much more that we could say about that. But that is what we need to understand. That the Word of God has to become part of us. I've told you before when I'd speak over at the jail over here, the guys in jail said, "Larry, the way you talk about this, it's like the Bible is every day. It's with you every day. It's with you in every decision." And I thought, well, isn't that obvious? But evidently wasn't the way they were taught. It isn't what they were taught, or they weren't taught anything at all. The Bible has got to be in us. When you guys are in school, you don't go, "Oh, you're asking me to go do that with you? Well, let me go ask my mom. How'd that go over? Or let me go get my Bible and let me read about that. How'd that go over?" No, you got to have it in you. God even expects it to be in you if you're just a kid. But he expects it to be in me too. He expects me to know what that word is. And he expects me to be able to follow it. These next two slides are slides I took from one of Jim's lessons from a long time ago. You may not remember it, but I hope it strikes you that you can see how it applies to this lesson. Mrs. Nelson wrote 5 short chapters. "I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk and I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find my way out." There's a progression here. "I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again and I am lost. I can't believe I am in the same place, but it still isn't my fault. It takes a long time to get out." Let's keep progressing. "I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately." "I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk, and I walk around it." Now let me stop here for a second because I want to make an application of what I'm talking about in this lesson. Now listen to this. Some people would look at that solution and say, "I have done it. I'm not falling in the hole anymore. I don't have to dig my way out anymore. I have succeeded." And what Peyton talked about last week, and what I'm talking about this week, What Kenny talked about a few weeks ago is not that solution. Well, what other solution could there possibly be? Let me show you. You see, what's being talked about here is a whole different way of thinking. It's not just getting better at avoiding the holes in the sidewalk. It's going a whole new direction. Do you see that? That's what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to step up. And that's what the lesson has been about over the last couple of weeks and what I'm talking about again today. I realize that we can sometimes have differences, and if we think those differences can help us grow, help us mature, then that's certainly good. But we also have an expectation of unity with God and with one another. And so we were simply asking to take a break in this series until we could talk some more, Jim and Peyton and Dwayne and I, so that we could make sure we're on the same page as we apply these things. We have an expectation. We need to expect that those who say they are children of God act like children of God. Now, I realize, and I want you to realize, that I may bind myself with some things that I would not bind on you. I believe that they're good for me for the very reasons that I've talked about already. They are good because they help me grow. They help me be better. But I don't bind them on you because I recognize that I cannot bind them on you. It doesn't matter that I'm an elder. What matters is that what the Word of God says. And to the extent that I teach the Word of God, that I try by example to set a good example of the Word of God, then I'm doing what God has asked me to do. We need to take inventory of ourselves. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Are we maturing more to be more like the world or more like the godly? Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. These are all passages that speak to the expectation of a Christian. What is it that we should expect from one another? Well, I can tell you that what I expect from Peyton is his tender love and affection. I expect the truth from him. And I hope he expects that from me. I hope in the future as he preaches here to us, that he preaches to me too. I want him to know how much I love him. And that what I thought and what worried me about the series was that it could be truly hurtful to you and maybe even to others. You know, it's hard sometimes to think about what is the best way to handle a situation. What is the best thing to do? But I believe that this young man can be a preacher of the gospel that can change lives, that can bring people back to Christ, and that can bring people to be more mature in Christ. And so if you're saying, well, you know, the elders must really be upset about this lesson. Listen to the lesson. I hope it gets out on the internet sometime. I'm not exactly sure how that works, just like I'm not exactly sure how this up here works. But I can tell you that it is a lesson that will help you. And I want you to listen to it, just like you listened to me this morning. I believe that we need to get better. We need to get better at how we follow Christ. We need to get better about how we treat one another. We need to get better about how we teach the gospel. Pat and I have been very worried about some of the changes that may be happening within our lives, within the lives of people we know, within this congregation. And I want you to know that I pray for you. And I pray for the elders here and for the evangelists. I pray for you. Because one day I want us to be in heaven together. It is so very important that it's the only thing that is important. We're trying to do the right thing here. And that is just do what Christ asks us to do. Enough said. God bless each of you. God wants you to be His person, His man or His woman. God wants you to cherish the children that He's given you, to love them and to nurture them and to bring them closer to Him. God loves you, and He asks you for just one thing. Love Him back. Love Him back like He asked you to. I sincerely hope that you'll listen to this lesson and take it to heart, and that you'll love each of our evangelists like I love them. God bless each of you. Let's stand and sing together.